Today is the 2nd of July 2022, and this is the 39th session on mindfulness for beginners. And I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bhante, Hom Agama Dhamma Kusala Thero, to today's session. And in addition, I would also like to welcome all the participants and organizers who are joining through Zoom and Facebook live streaming on the Satipatthala Foundation Facebook page to this session on mindfulness. And I would give a quick brief overview on what will be the structure of the session. First, we will go through an initial in-session mindfulness practice. After that, we will go on to present the written reports and verbal questions through the session that will be presented to Bhante, with advice from Bhante being received in return. Then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness, and after that we will come to the conclusion. So I hope that you will all be able to gather much information on this, on the topic of mindfulness. And in addition, I have a request from Bhante today, asking everybody to gather a pen and a piece of paper for the activity during session. So with that, I would like to hand over the session to Bhante to commence the in-session practice for today.
Hello everybody. So today I thought maybe we can do a different activity, an activity related to mindfulness. So for that you need to gather a pen and a piece of paper. So we will give you a minute to gather that. You can use the Zoom hand to show that you are ready. Okay, I think most of you are ready. So today we will do a small activity which is related to mindfulness and would be much helpful for your day-to-day thinking pattern, to change your thinking pattern. So this is about appreciating little things in life. Usually we go after big things. We have big plans for our future. So most of the time, we are thinking about these things. We are spending our energy on these things. But in the meantime, while this thinking process happening, we are really missing the life. We forget to live. So we are thinking about big things, good things that's going to happen in your life. And you actually forget to live your life. You forget to live in the present moment. So this activity is much related to living in the present moment, appreciating the present moment, appreciating little things that we have in our day-to-day life. Now, instead of thinking about the things that we want to attain, we try to think about the little things that we can appreciate. Little things that we already have in our life, right? So let's say this one, some people, they call it 10 finger gratitude. Every day you take a piece of paper or a journal and you write down few things that you are grateful about. They must not be huge things. Probably that you got a car or something, that's not something that you want to write. on this piece of paper, and said you write something, little things that made you happy in your day, right? So as the very first step, you have to think about today, how you spend today, and write something that you are happy about, that you feel glad about. A small thing, a little thing that made you happy just for a moment or two, right? So write was one thing that you think that made you happy today. Okay, now you should have something on your list. A little thing that made you happy today, right? So who would like to share what you got?
Please raise the Zoom hand when you are ready to share what you have written. Thank you.
Maybe we can start it now, Mantha.
Okay, Bandi, it's very simple answer. It's Saturday morning. I know there's no work today. So I woke up very happy knowing that feeling, knowing that that is a condition for today morning. So when I go to sleep, also I know tomorrow is Saturday, so it's a very happy feeling.
That's a good one. You appreciate your weekend. You appreciate the Saturday that you don't have to work, right? So that's something that made you happy today. Right. Who else? Namant, I think you can assign somebody.
Okay, Chamari, you can, I will unmute, you can speak now.
Thank you, Namant. Bante, so I woke up early in the morning and felt calm getting up from the bed. Noted that there were no major aches and pains in the body. Thinking wasn't that fast. So I'm quite grateful. Some days I wake up very agitated, 105 things I need to do before 9 o'clock in the morning. So this was just a calmer waking up in the morning.
Okay, that's a good one. So usually if our mind is calm and peaceful, that's something that we could be glad about, we could be happy about. A little thing that you don't have any aches, pains in your body, and your mind is calm and peaceful. So that's a good one, that you feel happy about this state of mind, right? So thank you for adding that. Then Rajika?
Avasarai Bhante, I found two things that I can be happy about today. Yesterday we celebrated my son's birthday, so this morning I woke up that I don't have to cook, so we got leftover food for today. And the second thing is I could do walking and sitting practice. I could continue the practice despite my busy schedule. So those are my two little things that I'm happy about today. Thank you.
Okay, so due to the weekend, due to the party yesterday, so you feel happy today that you don't have any work and you can be relaxed, right? So that's a good one. Then I think Hema Mali.
Yes, Bante, I got up early morning and I did meditation, my usual meditation. And then I prepared a smoothie for the family with a happy feeling, gratitude feeling for the family. Thank you, Bante.
Right. So that's that you get to prepare a meal for your family. And
yes.
You can have gratitude towards that. You can have a happy feeling that you are supporting your family. You are doing your necessary part. So that's something good that you can appreciate. Usually we don't appreciate these things. We take it as a trouble. But if you like this way, if you appreciate this way, then that's a good one, that you're appreciating what you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Namanta?
Yes, Mala, you can speak now.
Bhante, this is the first time I'm joining this program. I didn't know about it. But at 8:25 today, Hema Mali phoned me and said, there's a nice program. Would I like to join? And she gave me all the password and the codes and everything. So I'm happy I joined. And I'm happy I got friends who helped me in my journey. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. We are also happy that you are able to join you. Right? So that's something that both parties can be happy about.
So that's an additional reason for the organizers to be happy too. I can see Rajika smiling most. And so right. Okay.
Those are little things that we can find in our day to be happy about, to be glad about. So let me share what I wrote, right? So today, about 2 hours ago, we had this working hour. We call it working meditation, right? So with the lay people, we are doing some work. So today I got a sledgehammer and I started, you know, hammering a stone, a rock. Initially, it felt like it won't break. Right. But after hammering 10, 15 times, it broke and went into pieces. So that's something that made my day today. I thought initially this is impossible, but continued and with some time, with some effort, it cracked. So that's something that we can be happy about. Especially my attitude, I can be happy about, right? Little things that I'm enjoying. So that's one thing in our list. Okay. Now try to add few more things. If you can add about 10 things, that's better. Still try to add 4 or 5 things more. Some of you, it's early in the morning, so maybe you don't have many things on your list, but still you can try to find out few things that made you happy.
Pante, Avasarai, just for today, like the little things you...
Yeah, only from today. Okay. Just try to add few more things and we will take about 5 minutes to do that.
And thank you for sharing your the happy thing, Pante. I was about to ask you what make you happy today. So thank you for sharing that.
Maybe I planned this whole activity just to express that. Okay, I think by now we should have a number of things on your list. So if anybody who hasn't spoke can share what you have on your list. somebody new, we would like to hear a new voice.
So I do work having no work today, Saturday morning as well. I was happy about the garden full of flowers when I woke up, and that the neighborhood is quite peaceful because I heard the birds and just the nature sounds. And mainly I'm really happy about is my mother is here visiting me. So I was quite happy about her. And she's right next to me listening to the session. Also my husband offered to drop the children off at their dance lesson so I could do the lesson, to the session today. So there's a lot to be happy about. A whole list there.
Yes, so little things that made you happy today, right? And it's that season for you guys, that garden is full of flowers and you can hear the birds singing. So that's the time that you can enjoy the surrounding more and more. So these are little things that we can be glad about that made our day, right? So the idea of the activity is to every day think about, maybe intentionally you have to pay attention to these things. They don't come to your attention easily. But if you think about them, you can find at least 5-6 things that made you happy. So every day before bed, if you make a list of items, list of 10 things, or at least try to find few things that made you happy in the day, right? They shouldn't be big things, new things. Instead, you can find little things that made you happy in the day. So try to make it a habit. Every day before bed, you can write few things that you are glad about, right? So they call it 10-finger gratitude. You try to appreciate the little things in your life. You try to find little things that you can be happy about, you can be glad about. So it's a good exercise that you can practice every day and try to write few things every day before bed. And with time, you will realize that automatically these little things grab your attention and you start to enjoy them more and more. That's the difference that will happen with time. Not initially. You have to again and again bring your attention to little things. Bring your attention to the meal that you are having. Bring your attention to the beautiful sounds that you are hearing from the garden. Bring your attention to the little things that you do every day that you can be glad about. And when you have that focus, when you train your mind to appreciate these things with time, within few weeks, within few months, you realize that you are automatically appreciating these things. You are finding them enjoyable. So that's the idea of the activity. And if you can keep a journal and try to find few things every day, then this is something interesting. This is something that will direct you towards appreciating little things in your day-to-day life. Otherwise, you are always thinking about big things that you have to achieve. It's a never-ending process. It's like feeding a fire, right? So instead, we try to appreciate little things that you have in your day. So this is the exercise. I think Rajika wanted to share her experience as well. So we will give her a chance.
No, Vante, no. I really don't have any. If you ask me, I'll read it out.
Just the remaining things on your list, you can read it out.
Okay. Today I met one of the monks who helped me to come into this path. Like it's a around two hour drive, but. We went to see that Vante who traveled from Sri Lanka. And I could collect a book that I was looking for a long time for my Pali lessons. And I noticed today, usually I get angry when I think doesn't go in according to my wish, but I noticed today I kind of tolerate certain times that when things doesn't go in my wish. And I noticed today I didn't rush during like my transition within the different tasks, the subtle things, but I still notice that I'm very relaxed today, and I'm glad about all those things. Thank you, Bhante, for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you for sharing. And if anybody else would like to share, we can give you a minute. Otherwise, we are moving forward.
Bhante, I'll just share mine too, just in case.
Okay, right.
It'll help. So I just it's a very rainy day today. Forecasted rain for the next 4-5 days. So I felt that the rain was very musical. So I felt very happy about that. Then I also happened to wake up a bit earlier than usual on Saturday morning. I was happy about that too. And then I also felt, for some reason, I felt more fitter than usual waking up today. Maybe the happiness of a Saturday morning impacted that to happen. So other than that, yeah, I also heard some good news from Sri Lanka about the present crisis condition and some good developments happening. So felt happy about that too. So these were the main things I felt happy about. Thank you. Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. And these are little things that we can appreciate, right? Okay, we can move forward.
Okay, thank you so much, Bhante, for conducting that intention mindfulness practice. And thank you for all those who spoke and shared their experiences for today's day. And now I would like to move to the next step, which is the Q&A, where we present reports and verbal statements to Bhante. So for that, I would like to invite Sonali to start off the Q&A session with the two reports received for today. Over to you, Sonali. Thank you.
Avasarai Bhante. Thank you, Namantha. There are two reports we've received today. I'll start with the first one. Mindful walking, 45 minutes. Walked on grass in the morning. It was interesting how the mind felt quite prepared to allow this time for the mindful walking. This is still a newer feeling. Grass felt cold and damp underfoot. Sole of foot that was moving in the air felt warmer compared to the other foot that was firmly placed on the ground. Noted the body weight shifting from side to side with the walking. Felt that nothing was static and that everything was in motion every second. Although the mind seemed calmer and okay, a light cool breeze felt on skin that was soon replaced by the previous warmer feeling of the body once that light wind had passed. Lots of thoughts arose in the mind, and while these were noted, there was no struggle to get rid of the thoughts. Heard birds chirping nearby. Again, various thoughts appeared in the mind. Many of these were unrelated. Walking continued uninterrupted, even when mind was taking different objects. Mindful sitting, 45 minutes. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the posture to a comfortable position. The mind seemed to settle into the quiet surrounding of the early morning. Scanned the body from head to toes a couple of times. Felt the light movement of rise and fall of the stomach. Then soon after, noted the stream of air coming in and out near nostrils. Mindfulness was with the breath for a few minutes, and thoughts about past events and future arose afterwards. Harder to explain this properly in words, but there was a point when the mind knew for a moment that the focus was moving from the breath to incoming thoughts. Wish that the mindfulness was sharper to notice the moment better. Felt an intense pressure on the lower back against the cushion. Caught the immediate thought of wanting to change the posture. But it felt like there was less urgency in having to change the posture. Body stayed in the same position. Felt confident that the mind can be guided and be retrained. Many more thoughts about past events came up, but mind was becoming less interested in writing stories about them. Mind experienced this choice to either proliferate more thoughts or to just be the observer of the passing thoughts. Attention moved to the lower back and the pressure was still there, but it had changed to a dull awareness. There were no mental requests to change position. Mindfulness during the day. Was in an online class with about 12 other participants, noted how the mind was urging to speak up when some members were sharing things that were outside the topic being followed. Instead of reacting to what was happening in class, the mind scanned the body and noted the tight feeling in the stomach muscles and the forehead area. Both areas visibly relaxed when the mindfulness was there. With that, the need to speak up and correct others disappeared. Interaction in class continued. Participants were sharing their views and the mind was much calmer because now the quick body scan was used as a resource to note any tightness associated with stress or agitation. This helped reduce reacting with mind and by speech. There were a few occasions when some questions in the class were met with silence, on waiting for anyone in the class to respond, and no one did. Choose to share how the mind had understood the answer to those questions. This selective speech helped the whole group, but there was ease of mind, no tightness in stomach or forehead, where usually the stress is felt. Some participants continued sharing their views and even though the mind noted how the decision moved away from the focus at hand a few times, there was no urgency in the mind to intervene. Noted that there are many other areas to practice this patience. Venerable Vante, I await your feedback. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience. You can see now we are developing our mindfulness while walking, while sitting, and during your day-to-day activities. That is our practice. That is what we are talking about here, right? So when we start that, you can really see how your mindfulness is growing little by little. Initially, it is difficult. You feel that there is no mindfulness. That's how you feel. But that feeling is a good sign. A sign that is showing that you have started your practice. When you start your mindfulness practice, when you hear about mindfulness, then only you will understand the unmindfulness that is within you. Till that point, you don't have a problem about unmindfulness, a problem about ignorance. As soon as you hear about mindfulness, these problems arise. But that's a good sign that you are starting your practice. That's a good sign that you can progress. Now you are noticing that you are not mindful. That's a very good sign. The solution is that you have to practice again and again. No matter what is happening, you are doing your walking session. Probably you are asleep during the whole sitting session. That's fine. You continue your sitting session. You complete that time. That's how you have to practice. One day the mind is calm, peaceful. You feel like practicing. Next day the mind is agitated. You don't feel like practicing. But still, you try to complete your time. If it is 45 minutes of walking, you do the 45 minutes of walking. If it is 45 minutes of sitting, you do the 45 minutes of sitting. You try to maintain your practice like this. So that's the way of mindfulness. That is how you can grow. Otherwise, one day you feel like practicing, you are practicing. Next day you don't feel like practicing, you are not practicing. That's not how it should be. Instead, whatever happens, you do your practice. Yesterday, I met a person and I asked him, what was the feeling that you got that you are mindful during the walking? He's old, so he's saying that I felt that my legs are aching. That was his answer. It's a good one. You feel that your legs are aching. Although the legs are aching, you try to continue. You try to maintain that walking session. Every time the legs are aching, that you know that you are mindful about the walking. That's how we are practicing. You want to always feel peaceful and calm. Sometimes it is difficult. Still, you try to maintain your 45 minutes of walking, 45 minutes of sitting. And with time, you realize that you are progressing. Right? There's no urgency to get rid of thoughts that are appearing. And so you know that everything is changing. It's changing so rapidly, you just have to wait for a while. And you realize now the thoughts are not there. They come without our invitation and they go without our approval. That's what's happening. You just have to wait and see what is happening. Just be the observer for a while and you notice now the thoughts are not there. Again, thoughts are coming. Again, they are disappearing. This is how it's progressing. You practice again and again. Just see the process. Just observe the process. And with time, you realize that you have made so much progress in your day-to-day life. Even day-to-day practice, you can feel how the mindfulness is helping you. Now you can jump in between and, you know, blame the classmates, tell them, point it out that you are not talking according to the topic. Right? So you are aware. We are not promoting ignorance. Instead, you are aware. You know what is happening. But always not reacting. If you start reacting to everything, then it's a never-ending process. It's like feeding a fire again. So this is a side effect of mindfulness, that you start to notice more and more things. But the practice is suggesting you shouldn't react. Instead, have the patience and notice what is happening. So you are getting so much information. You are aware, you know that this person is not talking according to the topic. But you just keep quiet and see. This is the thinking mind, wandering mind. We all suffer from that. That's the problem in this world, you know. When they start talking, they don't know what they are talking, right? And they are taking the herd as well. The others in the class, they are taking them as well. They are taking the entire herd for a ride. You just notice, you are aware, you have eyes, you have awareness. You know that this is what's happening. That's fine. Let it happen. Try to enjoy it a little bit. What I do is that, you know, I let them wander. I let them go for a ride. And as soon as when they stop, when they try to come back, I give another hint or something, another topic for them to discuss further, go even beyond that point. Right. And I enjoy that one very much because this is the wandering mind that we are talking about. They are not talking according to the topic. Instead, they are lost in their minds. They are lost in their thoughts. If you start correcting them, it's a whole lot of a problem that you're asking. Instead, you have patience. You try to keep your end. And you notice what's happening. You be aware of what's happening. That's how we have to progress. Otherwise, if you start correcting people, it's not peace that we are talking about. It will create more and more chaos in your mind, more and more trouble, friction with the surrounding. Instead, we just try to enjoy the process. We just see how lost people are in their minds. And with time, you realize that you are growing, you are developing more and more patience. You know what is happening, still you can stay like a blind. You know and you are staying like a blind, not the other way around. Not knowing, of course, that's the way of blindness, but now you know. And still you are staying like a blind, because if you start correcting this world, it's a never-ending process. Instead, we try to maintain peace in our mind. If you have a responsibility, if you are the teacher, then of course you can do that. Otherwise, let it happen. Just be the observer. Contribute as per your responsibility. And that's how we can progress. When more things you are starting to notice, so that's a very good sign. Continue. And you can see you are finding a lot of details about the processes that are happening all around. And it's a good progress in our practice. We are not going after everybody observing. Instead, when we are naturally mindful, we can see. We can see how people are responding, how they are lost in their minds. In a way, you feel compassion towards them because they have this struggle in their mind and they don't know a solution. They don't know that they are lost. That's the problem. So in a way, you feel compassionate towards them because they are lost in their mind. So continue and try to share your experience again.
I will move on to the next report. Walking meditation. Walk 30 minutes on wooden floor. After watching initial placing of right and left feet, next lifting, moving, placing observed. Hardness, softness, warmer, colder, discomfort, sounds, pressure, lightness noted. As he lifted off the floor, start of lifting, then middle of lifting and end of lifting observed. Similarly, the beginning, middle and end of the moving and placing, as well as each movement being noted by the mind, also observed. Sitting meditation. Sat mindfully after the walking session and observed breath. After a short time, mind noted to move from breath to different objects. First to an itch, then a sound, then sensations back to breath. Allowed mind to move and noted how it came back to breath. Longer out breath, which was also warmer and how it broke up noted. Breath disappeared and reappeared. Meditated for 1 hour. Daily activities. Watching mind and how communication with others were affected by state of mind. Noted when greed arose towards food and at times was able to refrain from eating at unnecessary times. Eating for meal times. At another time noted how the greed resulted in the action of eating despite being aware of the greed in the mind. Also watch the neutral reaction to the mind being attacked of hay fever and watching patiently the changes in runny nose, itchy eyes without running to treat it. Observed how symptoms pass and the changes at each stage if just observed rather than owning the changes. Also observed impatience, judging nature of mind, irritation, disappointment, hurt, arising and passing without reaching them. Anger not noted to arise in one occasion, resulting in harsh speech. Another time able to note disappointment in family member and act accordingly to reduce it. Thank you, Bhante, for guidance and to all organizers. End of report.
Yes, so you notice these qualities in your mind. Greed, various things are there. Anger is there. Then discomfort is there. So you are noticing. Now, even earlier report, that person mentioned that instead of getting rid of the thoughts, accepted them. So that's a really good way to practice. You don't try to get rid of these thoughts. If you try to get rid of these thoughts and emotions, then it will be a much difficult process. Instead, you notice them, you observe them, you try to be aware that they are there. Acknowledge their presence and don't try to feed them. Instead, let them be. And that's how you are progressing in your practice. We are not trying to get rid of everything. That's not the way towards peace. Instead, we are aware that they are there. But we have no attachment towards them. That's the idea. That's the real peace that we can achieve. We are living in this world. We are among people. We are among these things that are happening. But still, we don't have attachment towards these people, towards these things, towards these concepts. That's how we can attain the real peace. So you can see now how your practice is approaching that direction. You are noticing these qualities are there. Although we call them negative, these qualities are there. I'm noticing. I'm not feeding them. That's a good observation. And let me tell you another thing. It's easier to notice these negative things. Because we feel friction in our mind. So easily they are noticed. We feel discomfort in our mind. So easily you can notice these qualities, the negative ones. How about the positive ones? Let's say these negative ones, we consider them as poison in our mind, right? So it's natural you feel that they are poisonous. How about the positive ones? What's the attitude that you have towards them? Remember, they too are poisonous. It's the same attachment that we are talking about. This is easily done because you can feel the friction. These things are easily noticed because you feel the friction. But when you are lost in the positive things, when you are lost in the happiness, it's more difficult to notice. It's more difficult to be the observer. Instead, you get lost in it. It's natural. And you don't feel the harm in these positive feelings. You don't feel the harm in happiness. You don't feel the harm in enjoying things again and again. So when it comes to positive things, it's a difficult part of the practice that we are approaching. We don't recognize these things as poisonous. But both things, let them be positive, let them be negative, both are poisonous. It's the same attachment that we have towards them. And when you progress, you can really see, now even the positive ones, I can be aware. Then I'm happy. Feel the energy in your body. See how your breath patterns are changing. Be the observer. Try to notice more and more. Have the same attitude towards these positive ones as well. Know that they too have poison in them. Little by little, you can observe more and more. Be the observer instead of getting lost on these feelings. So that's how we have to progress. That's how you can progress your practice further and further. So to continue, and then you continue more and more, you can really feel this, that you are progressing. Sonali, I can't hear you clearly. Maybe it's a fault from my side. Namanta, can you hear?
Yes, I feel your voice is a bit faint, same as what Bhante is hearing. Maybe if you can speak a bit closer to the microphone or raise your voice.
Sorry, it could be me speaking not as loud.
Yeah.
Is that clear enough?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Yes, so next is to have a Q&A session. If anyone has any questions about what we've been discussing today, please raise your Zoom hand and we will let you unmute yourselves. I don't see any hands so far. Mihiri. Mihiri, would you like to unmute yourself and ask your question?
Avasarai Bhante. I just wanted to check, when you said about the positive things are as poisonous as the negative things just now in the report, do you mean not to get attached, just like we try not to be attached to the negative things, even when there are positive things, not to get attached to them and just recognize that they are also passing phenomena?
That's the idea. And what I'm saying is that it's more difficult to be the observer of the positive things. Negative things, you feel the friction. You feel that these things are troubling you. So naturally, you don't have that type of positive attitudes towards these things. You want to get rid of them. You want to get away from these feelings. So easier to observe, easier to catch with mindfulness. But when it comes to positive things, we get lost in them. We don't feel that friction. Instead, we feel happy. We enjoy them. So it's more difficult to understand they to have poison. But as you said, if you can observe both, If you can know that both are passing, then that's the way of the practice. It will take some time, but you can continue. You can feel that when you feel extremely happy, am I attached to this happiness? Or can I be the observer?
Okay.
Can I just observe that this feeling is also passing after a while?
Okay. Then, and is it the same for gratitude?
Sorry?
Is it the same for the gratitude? Because it was very interesting you said today to write the 10 things. What brought gratitude?
Yeah. So it's like this. Now we have positives, negatives. Usually we are carried away. We get carried away with the negative things, right? We have this darkness in our mind, right? So initially we try to balance it. We show you some positives. We show that be glad about these things. Right?
Okay.
We have some gratitude towards little things that you have in life. Right? Initially we balance. But when it comes to deep meditation, when it comes to mindful practice, then you have to let go of both.
Thank you, Bhante. I get it now.
There is evolution in your practice. It's not the same. So I'm also contradicting myself. Initially, I'm talking about gratitude. Now I'm talking about how the positive things are also poisonous. So that's the
path. Yeah, that's what I was questioning.
That's the path. It is always evolving. You can't give a fixed answer to anything. Instead, when you go beyond a certain point, you have to get rid of both. Initially, you feel happy, you feel glad that these things are there in your life. But the real peace is neither happiness nor unhappiness. Instead, it's the distance from both of these qualities. So you are distant from happiness as well as unhappiness. That's the real peace. Otherwise, when you get happiness, you turn it around, unhappiness is there.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Right.
Thank you, Mihiri, for that question. And thank you, Bhante. Anyone else has any questions? Okay, Kanti, would you like to unmute yourself and ask the question?
Avasarai, Bhante. I think I got the answer from the previous question, but still I ask. As you said this morning, you have to write the 10 things about positive things. So if I try to do every morning, I felt that we are always trying to looking for a positive thing and like increasing your desire. Is it something we have to think about, or I know you, Bhante, you explained that we have to expect positive and a negative and just let it go. Is that how we practice? Just to get a brief explanation.
I couldn't hear certain parts clearly, but I understand what you are talking about. It's the progress in your practice. So initially you have to have certain type of attitude towards good things, right? So even in our practice, we talk about compassion. We talk about generosity. We talk about kindness. So these things are there, right? So Initially we talk about these things. Initially, even there are certain meditations related to compassion, right? And people like that. People like that positive thing, right? But when you really progress in your practice, there's a certain point that when you go beyond that part, then if you attach to compassion, anger will also be there. That's the topic for our talk today. that somebody I met yesterday asked a very nice question that we can discuss further. So anyway, it's two sides of a coin. Right? So initially that part is approved. Right? So yeah. We started with gratitude. Right? Because if you are lost, totally lost in your mind, if you always think about future, how the things turn out, and you know, worry, then you should appreciate your day-to-day life more and more. You should appreciate what you already have in your life. But when you come to the practice, when you progress in the practice, now, like the report that we heard earlier, now that person is talking about feelings, thoughts that are arising in the mind and how to be mindfully observe them. So then I have to answer, now there are two types. This is the negative type you are talking about, but how about the other side? Yeah. That too you have to let go. It's the same attachment that we are talking about. That's the problem, right? So it's like going up, right? You go to the heavenly realms and still you are in the same cycle. Eventually you'll come down, right? Eventually you'll come down because you can't find a stability there. That's the same problem with our mind. You can feel that in your mind, certain occasions you are in hell. When you burn with anger, when you have jealousy in your mind, you are burning. It's like burning in hell. But when you are happy, you feel like you are in heaven, you are in cloud nine, you don't think it's negative. That's what happens when people only get the initial part of the practice, initial part.
Yeah.
You know, they do these offerings, right? They don't want to go beyond that point. Sometimes I go and, you know, do these preachings for people who come to offer things. So when I do the preaching, I eventually cross that point. I tell them, this is a preaching that you won't do more offerings if you hear this. Because at a certain point, you have to go beyond that. Offer, of course, that's fine. But that's not the full path. That's just the beginning of the practice. Beginning of the path. You have to go beyond that path. Otherwise, you are always appreciating the positive things. You want to go to the heavenly realms and still you are in the same cycle. Eventually you'll come down. So even our mind, you can feel that. Certain things, negative, you know that you are in hell. You feel the friction. But when it comes to positive things, you more and more attach towards them. That same attachment will create that difficulty, friction in your mind. Imagine now you might have family members, you might have things that you admire, right? So you are attached to these things. When they are broken, what happens? Then you feel the friction. It's the same attachment that will create that friction. So when you enjoy the company of your family members, you don't know that this is poisonous. But one day, there'll be a day that if you feel the friction, you feel the cost of your attachment, then it might be too late. So that's why we are talking about both sides. You have to understand this is not a fixed practice. Every day we are evolving. Yeah. Every day I am contradicting myself again and again. If you hear closely, you can really notice. At one occasion, I am telling one thing. Next occasion, I am telling something else. So it's a good way to guide people. No fixed answers.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Kanti, for that question. Can I ask Panchani to unmute yourself and ask the question?
Oh, Sarai Bhante, can you hear me, Sonali?
Bante, talking about this topic, I have noticed that meditation itself has sort of regulated and balanced my emotions. Even sometimes when I get the praise, my heart remains the same. And sometimes I cry, like tears are falling down. My heart is like not affected by it. I mean, is this even possible? Sometimes I question that. Is it possible to like cry but not get affected by the crying? It seems like the heart remains neutral to everything now.
Right, so that's the way of the practice. When you say meditation, it's the mindfulness that we are talking about. No other meditation will do this change, right? So it's the mindfulness that will distance you from these things. Let them be negative, let them be positive, still you are distanced, right? Your heart is peaceful. Although these things are happening, you know that you have awareness. Sometimes you are angry, but deep inside your mind, you know that you're angry. And if you want, you can stop. Sometimes I let it go, you know. I like that way. I let it go. I express the things. I say the words. But I know that I'm behaving this way. If I want, I can, you know, stop it. That very awareness will create the distance from both qualities in your mind. Either positive or negative, you have to create that distance. So it's okay to let these things out. As soon as you know, that's fine. That's why you are saying, is it possible? It's possible. That's the real peace that we are talking about. When you practice more and more, then you start to see the real signs. That although I'm angry, I know that I'm angry. If I want, I can stop. But this is an occasion that I have to express. Certain times you can stop, of course. Certain times you can tell something totally different. That's the experiment we are doing. We have three responses. Positively, negatively, or neutral. Usually we exercise one thing. When the anger is there, we respond positively. Negatively, sorry. Towards anger. When positive things are there, we respond positively. And neutral things, we are anyway neutral, right? But when you practice, you have a few options and you can really put it into practice. When somebody come and blame you, try the positive reaction. Thank them for blaming you. Then that person will go crazy. I came and blame this person. No, he's praising me, right? Sometimes I do, some people come and ask a question, I answer something totally different. Maybe I'm lost in my mind, maybe I don't know. Anyway, they ask a question, I give a totally different answer because that question is not related to our progress, our practice. Sometimes you feel people that are asking so many questions, you can't stop answering them. You can't finish it with answers. So you say something totally different. You stay quiet. So these are options that we can try out. So I encourage you to try out the opposite reaction. When somebody is blaming you, try out the opposite one.
I don't think I'm that advanced, Bante, yet.
But you can try. That's how you'll become advanced, you know. It's a gradual process. Little by little, you are doing this, right? So little by little, you can put it into practice and see.
And another thing, Bante, is I'm noticing my meditation happens naturally itself. Like I don't need to focus on breath meditation. It just happens.
Yeah, that's how you are progressing. You train your mind again and again till it becomes naturally mindful. That's the idea of the practice, right? So if you feel that you are naturally mindful, then your confidence is there and you have progressed in your practice. So that's a good sign. But you have to verify You had to verify this again and again. Try and see, is this correct? Is this statement correct? Right? So if it is correct, then you have the confidence, you have that assurance, and you can just let it happen. But sometimes this mind will come up with certain opinions. When we really investigate, it's a way of deceiving us. It's a way of misleading us. So let the time decide. Don't come into conclusions. If you are naturally mindful, it will be the same after 1 month, right? So that's the way you have to evaluate. When somebody come and tell you that they are an arahant, right? Let them be. Right? Let them be there for a few months, and eventually you'll find out whether they are really are. Right? That's the way of the practice. If they have good qualities in them, the time should prove it. Time should prove it again and again. That's why it is advised to observe them. Not from a distance, get close and observe. Not for a short period, for a long period. With wisdom observe, not with ignorance. Right? And when you do have three factors like that, when you do it again and again, for years, for months, then you realize this is true. This person is really peaceful. Otherwise, with time, they'll show the other side, the dark side of them, right? So even the people in your life, let them show themselves. Don't come into conclusions since that let it happen. Try and see what is happening with time. And eventually, they reveal themselves. That's the way, you know, you have to have the patience.
Thank you, Bhante. I mean, can I actually do this whilst staying at home? Can I progress any further?
You can. You have progressed so much. You can do it till there's no difference whether it's at home or whether it's at monastery, right? If there's a difference, still there's a way to go, right? That's why they say a sage who is staying in a forest is going to a market to check himself. If there's no difference, then you are really peaceful. Otherwise, if there's a difference, then it's a misleading factor that you have experienced, right? So time will verify it, right? If you feel that there is a difference when you practice at home versus when you practice in a monastery or when you are a lay person and when you are a monk, if you feel that there's a difference, then still you have a way to go. Still
understood further, completely.
You have to travel. So if there's no difference, then of course, that's the real peace. That's why a sage who is meditating in a monastery or in a forest goes to the fish market. Try to check himself whether I am truly peaceful.
Thank you, Bhante. Really understood. Thank you so much.
Sonali, again, your voice.
I think I'm not speaking loud enough. anyone else has questions? Can you please raise your hand? I don't see any hands raised. Maybe that's all the questions we have today. Namantha, would you like to take over from here again?
Yes, Sonali, thank you so much, and much merits to you for conducting the Q&A session with low volume and high volume. And much merits to you and much merits to Bhante as well. So I think I will quickly go through the beginner's introduction, and it will also be a good refresher for all those attending who are experienced as well. So for that, I will share the screen first. As you can see, There are five steps to this practice. First three being the practice itself. So you can do go through the videos on mindful walking and mindful sitting, and familiarize yourself with the basic concept on each, and then you can allocate some time, at least 10 minutes a day, spanning up to about 1 hour a day if you can, for each session. So if you're practicing the full time period for each session, it'll be 2 hours, 1 hour of mindful walking, 1 hour of mindful sitting, and this will give you the best training in this. So you can do that, and then after doing the sessions for 2 to 3 days, you can start writing your reports on what you experienced. In the report for mindful walking, you can mention what were the observations, what was your primary object of focus, what went through your mind, were there any thoughts or disturbances or surrounding noises affected your practice session, and also you can mention any other sensations which you can put into words. You can write this in your own words. Then we recommend for you to move into the mindful walking session straight away, and mindful sitting session as a second step. And then in that you can mention what became the prominent object of observation, whether it was the breathing, whether it was the bodily vibrations, or sometimes it could be the heartbeat or the pulse. And then you can mention how the practice went, whether you did get distracted by thoughts or surrounding noises or anything else, and then how you have experienced that mindfulness returned to your body. And the proof of that can be included in the report, like, okay, I drifted away into thoughts and then came back to understanding my body posture by my contact points, to where I was seated, or to the nostrils. So you can mention that kind of specific details as well, which will highlight to Bhante on how to advise you on based on your report. And for continuation, we have a cycle of feedback. So we have certain people sending reports for the session. They get feedback, and that helps them immensely to keep on improving. And also, even if it is anyone else's report, you can listen and learn based on that advice. So you can send any time the reports to the email beginnersnv@gmail.com, or use the Google form in the link shown here. Alternatively, yes, so this is both these are available in the Zoom chat section at the present, so you can copy from them. And then the fifth is, you can go through the older sessions on the recording link in step 5, so you can gather more information and insights there. So that's the end of the introduction for a beginner. I will stop sharing the screen. Now I would like to invite Bhante to spend a few minutes on the talk on mindfulness, and I will hand the microphone over to Bhante. Much merits, Bhante. Thank you.
Thanks, Amata. Thanks for sharing those information. As you can see, this is how we should start. So I heard that there might be a few new people here. So watch those two videos. Try to understand what is mindful walking. Try to understand what is mindful sitting. That's where you should start your practice. Every day, try it for some time. Just walk for a while and try to be aware. Try to notice that your body is walking. Do it 15-20 minutes. Walk in a relaxed manner and try to be aware. Then after that, you can just sit for a while. Not doing anything, instead just sitting for the sake of sitting, and try to notice what is there, what you observe when you are sitting peacefully. And if you start your practice today, by next week, you'll have a good report that you can present. Okay, this is how I practiced mindful walking during the last week. This is how I practiced mindful sitting. And this is what I observe when I do that. That's the way of the practice. You have to start somewhere. Even 5 minutes of sitting is fine. Even 5 minutes of walking is fine. Start somewhere. And little by little, you can get further advice. You can progress in your practice. Little by little, you know that you can walk for longer periods. Little by little, you know that you can sit for longer periods. And little by little, you know that your mindfulness is growing. Do it for weeks, do it for months, do it for years. And you can really feel how this practice is creating more and more peace or more and more space in your mind. If you have no practice, you feel like that there is no space in your mind. It is so noisy inside. It's difficult to deal with your thoughts that you feel. Always there is so much friction you feel. But when you start your practice, with time, you start to see more and more space. You start to see less and less friction in your mind. Even your body becomes lighter and lighter. You feel like even the gravity is lower. Gravity is the same, but your body becomes lighter due to the lightness of mind. This body is just the outer projection of your mind. So when your mind is peaceful, eventually, naturally, your body is also becoming peaceful. That's why you feel less and less friction. You have to find this peace among these troubles, among these people, among these situations. We are not recommending avoiding. We are not recommending avoiding people. We are not recommending avoiding situations. We are not recommending avoiding your thoughts, emotions. Instead, you try to find peace among these things. That is the real way. Similar to how you try to find silence in between the sounds that you hear. In our practice, we call it sound of silence. When you start your practice, you feel that always there are noises. That's all there is. But little by little, you start to notice the empty spaces in between. Little by little, you start to notice the silence in between. And that silence is talking to you more and more instead of the sounds that are there. And little by little, you realize that silence is vast. It is so deep. Sounds are only on the surface. They don't go beyond that. So that's the space that we are talking about. Space among thoughts, space among emotions, space among the people or the situations that you are in. That is how you have to progress in your practice. Definitely that will take time because it's a permanent solution that we are talking about, not a temporary fix. It takes time. That effort is totally worth it. That investment is totally worth it. Right? So when you practice more and more, you start to realize different sides of your mind, how it is functioning. You start to notice different patterns of your mind, how it is functioning. This observation is always a good thing. As I said earlier, when the mindfulness is introduced, you start to realize the unmindfulness. That's a good thing. Because earlier you didn't have a problem, not because you were mindful, but you didn't know that about the mindfulness. That's why you had no problem. Now there's a problem, because of this. But that's a good sign. Now you know that you are unmindful. Only after introducing mindfulness, people can know about the unmindfulness. But they come and complain. But they have to understand that this is a good thing that you are noticing the unmindfulness. Now you know the concept of mindfulness. That's why you are noticing the unmindfulness. So this is how our mind works. This is how we start to notice the patterns of our mind. This is how we start to notice how it works. Yesterday I met this person. He was asking an interesting question. He was one of the people who came for an offering. And he was telling me, he was asking me that I do these type of offerings regularly. And I like it. And when I give something, maybe it's to the monks or maybe to somebody else. When I give something, I let it go and I give it with a pure heart. But what I have noticed is that now that person takes it and maybe he give it to somebody else. You offer something to a monk and that monk will give that offering to somebody else. As soon as that happens, I can really feel greed in my mind. He was asking, I want to do these offerings, but I don't like that greed part that is appearing in my mind because of the same thing that I offered. Because of the generosity that I have in my mind, as a result, I get greed. So he's asking this question. Same thing happens to the people who try to do the metta practice, compassion. When you start practicing compassion, little by little, you realize that early in the morning, you did the compassion. Towards the evening, you get more and more angry. Account balancing, he said. Earlier you had the positive thing, now you have to cover up, have the negative thing towards the evening. So this is how our mind works. You try to be compassionate, but as soon as something goes wrong, you become furious. You offer something with a good heart, but due to that same offering, you get greed in your mind. So you can really see that these things are two sides of a coin. When you take one, naturally the other one will come. Other one will follow. So it is said that when you offer something, try to do it with a pure heart. Try to do it with a heart that lets go. Have no expectations. Instead, forget about that thing and just, you know, function. But when you start to do it, it's really difficult. That person offering so many times and coming and telling me that I can't do it. Due to the same offering, I get greed in my mind. Due to the compassion, I get anger in my mind. So this is the real problem. If you want to offer something with a pure heart, first you have to do this practice till the end and then come and offer something. It's that difficult because it's two sides of a coin. If you take one, the other one will come naturally. So in a way, doing an offering in the correct way requires the highest level of meditation. Requires a mind that have very strong mindfulness. Now, in our practice, when we practice mindfulness, as I said earlier, we are letting go of both things. You let go of the compassion as well as the anger. Most people, they don't like the latter part. They don't like to let go of the compassion. They want to keep it and instead let go of the anger only. That's not possible. When you progress more and more in your practice, you realize that this is the true nature. You can't have a cake and eat it too. Instead, if you are letting go, you have to let go of both qualities. That's difficult. That's difficult. We don't like to appreciate that second part. We don't like to appreciate that compassion also has that same poison. We don't try to appreciate that positive things have that same poison. But practicing again and again, this very mindfulness will tell you that they are connected. They are two sides of a coin. And you can really see how they are functioning. So continue. Try to be aware when you have negative things in your mind. Try to be aware when you have positive things in your mind. Always you are practicing. Always you are meditating. Whatever the situation that you are in, you are meditating. Whatever the person that you are talking, you are meditating. Whatever the task you are doing, you should be meditating. That's how we have to approach this life. And when you approach, you start to see how these opposites work. How compassion will give rise to anger. How generosity will give rise to greed. Noticing them is the way. If you try to get rid of the greed part and have only the positive part, that won't work. If you only try to have the compassion and try to get rid of that other part, that won't happen. Instead, you are letting go of both. You see, you understand that they both are poisonous. To attain the real peace, you have to let go of these things. Both of them. That is how you can really progress in your practice. It's not a matter of day or two. Instead, you have to do it again and again. Understand this practice is always evolving. Understand today's advice won't be valid for tomorrow. That's why we encourage you to present your experience. That's why we invite you to get some feedback. If it's not a fixed solution, it's not a fixed answer, because we are living in this changing world. We are living in this evolving world. So our practice should also be like that. Our practice is also evolving little by little. So this way, I'm not suggesting not to do offering. Instead, you can try and do it with a mindful heart. You can behave to do it with a pure heart. It takes practice. It takes a lot of time to develop that type of a mind. And the opportunities will come. That is why I am saying this again and again. You don't have to chase after people doing offerings. Instead, there'll be an opportunity. Somebody who is in trouble might come and ask you something. So when that happens, do it. If it is possible, do it to the maximum possibility and forget about it. Don't go after that person. Don't think that he will return the favor. Instead, forget about it. Then somebody else might come and ask for a different thing. If you can, say, yes, I can do this much, I can give. If you can't, just say, sorry, I can't do. So that opportunity is like nature is talking. You really have to listen to that message. And when you have that vibration in your mind, when you know how to listen to it, then you will see how the life is creating opportunities for us. So yesterday, usually I don't go for these things in the evening. But yesterday, there was a message came to my kuti. There are some people who are waiting to do a session on mindfulness. So I took it as a, you know, nature's way of telling me. So I went. And that very discussion was very much influential. And I could feel right away that this was the way it works. When I give that message, they were absorbing it. They were listening attentively. And this is how it works. There are no accidents in this world. Instead, it's something behind there. Always there's a reasoning. Maybe we don't see. But still, when you keep your eyes open, when you start listening more and more, you feel that there's this opportunity. When you have that opportunity, do it. Don't keep accounts. Don't write down that person's name and the amount that you spent. Instead, forget about it. Let it go. And when you have a requirement, an unknown person will come and help you, give you a helping hand. That is how this world works. If you are keeping accounts, then you will have that anger part. I helped these people, but they are not helping me back. I spent this much, but they are not returning my favor. That is how the anger will arise. That is how the greed will arise. Instead, when there's an opportunity, you do it. You do it to your maximum capacity and you forget about it. I don't know that person. I did it and no accounts kept. And when you have a requirement, a totally unknown person will come. Okay, here, this is, I will give you this. You are in trouble, take this. That's how it works. Even as monks, sometimes we go on Pindapatha. When you go on Pindapatha, you go to this unknown area. I don't know where the houses are. So you just walk. You can really see how this is happening. Sometimes certain days are there. You can't even go 100 meters. Somebody come and do this offering. Maybe in a vehicle, they come and, you know, they do the offering and they go away. Sometimes you travel for kilometers, still your bowl is not full. So that's how it works. When the time is right, there'll be an opportunity. And you accept it, you take it, you do your best and forget about it. Don't keep accounts. If you keep accounts, that's the account of the greed that we are talking about. That's how we have to practice. That's how we encourage you to practice. Always there'll be opportunities for you to do good things. You just have to keep your eyes open. Don't go chasing after people doing offerings. Don't go, you know, trying to be compassionate. Instead, there'll be times. Maybe even to an animal, there'll be a time that you can be compassionate. Maybe somebody come with a problem. You can listen to them. That very listening will help them. But you have to wait for the right time. Don't go chasing after people asking their problems. Instead, let them open up to you. When the time is right, they will do it. Sometimes people come, you know, they hint. They say that I have a problem, but they don't share. So if you go asking them, then that's a trouble that you're asking for. And so let them share it naturally. If they are not willing, that's fine. It's your problem. Why should I care? If they are willing, of course, you give some time, you listen. That's that opportunity that we are talking about. So when you are attentive, when you are mindful, you can really see how the life is creating opportunities for you. Opportunities for you to be compassionate. Opportunities for you to be generous. Those opportunities will come. So continue your mindful practice. Continue to see these two sides of a mind. This negative side and the positive side. Continue to see, observe how they are linked together. How they are closely related. And when you do that, you can let go of both. You can really progress in your practice. So thank you for listening. And I encourage you to continue your practice more and more.
Thank you so much, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante for that that talk. If anyone has any questions on the talk itself, I would like to ask you to raise Zoom hand and we can spare 2 minutes or so. I think there's no one wanting to ask a question on the talk, and Bhante, so many merits to Bhante for that kind of insightful talk yet again today as well. So we always see that Bhante covers so many angles and so many perspectives very sharply covered on mindfulness, and this helps us to kind of look at the same practice from so many different angles. And I think it's like getting a nuclear weapon system built into your mind by listening to Bhante's talks. Excellently done on the talk, Bhante, and I would like to specially thank on behalf of all the audience. So I would also like to wish Bhante's own practice to improve. I'm sure it is improving based on what we are hearing from Bhante on the talks and Q&A sessions. So we wish that all this merit will go to improve Bhante's own practice more and more, and that Bhante will also be able to contribute to our program in the future as well. So, and I would also like to mention the person who requested this program to be initiated, Most Venerable Bhante Uda Iregama Dhammajiva Mahathero, for his insightful request, and also all the monks from the Nisaranavana Air Forest Monastery who are there. We would like to pass all these merits to them as well, and to Chief Bhante as well. Then I would like to also thank and share merits with the organizers and the attendees who are joining through Zoom and also through Facebook. So with that, I would like to give a chance for anyone to make a comment or make a suggestion by raising Zoom hand. Okay, and along that, I think no one is there raising hand. I have posted some announcements on the chat section. You can all see that. And thank you for your kind feedback from the attendees. This session is the 39th session on mindfulness for beginners. And I hope that you all collected a great sum total of advice and insightful explanations from Bhante, and I hope that this will go on to nourish your practice, improve your practice beyond imagination. So we will have the session next week as well. So I wish all of you to have a happy and mindful week ahead with the ability and the courage and energy to perform these sessions in your daily schedules. And then we will see you next week with a similar session. And again, mentioning Bhante's contribution, thank you and much merits to Bhante. So I will end the Zoom session now, hoping to see you next week. Have a mindful week ahead. Thank you.